This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Going down.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Last night I paid $2.93 for a gallon of gas. That's pretty good for L.A. It's just one bit of anecdotal evidence that the price at the pump has been falling lately. So has the cost of oil. Crude oil prices fell in Asia. That followed reports showing strong U.S. gas inventories. The resumption of some oil production in Nigeria is also influencing the slide in prices. So what lies ahead for oil? The head of the French energy giant Total says the world will struggle to meet oil demand in the future. He believes BP problems in Alaska highlight issues the industry is struggling with. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Total's chief executive is sounding less bullish than most oil company bosses. Thierry Desmarais says the industry will not be able to meet the global demand for crude forecast by the International Energy Agency. He doubts the world can raise output by the 40% required over the next 25 years. Desmarais cites the problem of BP's rusting, leaky pipes in Alaska. He says the industry is having to wring every last drop out of aging oil fields. He has a point, says Peter Kemp of Petroleum Intelligence Review.
That there is a problem of, or challenge rather, of constant renewal of the infrastructure if we're going to keep historic fields pumping for much, much longer than was originally anticipated.
Congress is taking a less sympathetic view of the oil industry's struggles. At yesterday's hearing into BP, one congressman said the company's name stands for bloated profits and broken pipelines. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
What's in a name? Quite a bit, according to the fans of the department store Marshall Fields. Beginning tomorrow, stores that used to be called Marshall Fields, Robinson's May, and Filene's will have just one name, Macy's. Federated Department Store owns all these retail outlets. Changing the names is part of a plan to create a national department store brand. But Rachel Dornhelm reports that that idea is raising some hackles.
Some Chicago residents will take to the streets tomorrow to protest the name change at their beloved Marshall Fields. Retail analyst Dan Hess says such sentiments could hurt Macy's sales in the short term.
I think there's going to be some pain initially. I think it's going to hurt in the very beginning, but ultimately it will be a good thing for Macy's.
Hess says that's because as a fully national brand, Macy's has bigger purchasing power. It can buy more products more cheaply. That could translate into savings for customers, says industry analyst Marshall Cohen.
It now gives them the ability to compete with other national retailers like JCPenney, even Target and even Walmart, that, believe it or not, have been eroding market share from the department stores for the past 10 years.
Cohen says mid-range stores are squeezed because today's shopper will pair $26 jeans with $300 luxury shoes. The one federated brand that won't switch its name is Bloomingdale's. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The beef is back in South Korea. U.S. beef, that is. South Korea used to be the world's third largest export market for American beef. Today, South Korea says it will open its doors again, ending a three-year ban due to mad cow disease. The market struggled yesterday and closed with all the arrows pointing south. The Dow tumbled 74 points to 11,331. The Nasdaq fell 12 points to 2155. This is Marketplace. Guess who's back on top of the record charts? Bob Dylan. Marketplace's Lisa Napoli says the new album features his trademark vocals and poetic lyrics.
Bob Dylan may not look like he did 30 years ago, but he still sounds the same, and that sound is serving him well on the charts. For the first time since 1976, he's topping them. His Modern Times is the number one seller. Jeff Mayfield of Billboard is not terribly surprised.
But if you look, His last two studio albums also made the top 10.
But this new one has sold more than 190,000 copies in just the last week. That's thanks in part to a modern marketing campaign on that virtual record store known as iTunes. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Reuters, the world's news and information source, working to make a difference every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. As we mark the fifth anniversary of 9/11, we take a look at the impact that event had on the economy. Perhaps no business was more transformed by the terror attacks than the airline industry. Delta, United, U.S. Airways, and Northwest Airlines all declare bankruptcy following the tragedy. Richard Abalafia is an aviation analyst at Thiel Group. I asked him to describe the airline industry prior to 9/11.
Well, 9/11, the industry was very definitely in transition. There was obviously handwriting on the wall that the situation wasn't going to keep going because you had a big business downturn when it came to business travel after the dot-com crash in late 2000, early 2001. So this was an industry in flux, but it was not an urgent situation.
So the airline industry was already facing serious challenges. What was the immediate impact of 9/11 on the industry?
9/11 had a tremendous accelerating effect. For one, obviously, there was the shutdown, and you shut down an industry with high capital costs, high fixed costs, and razor-thin margins. And you shut it down, and all of a sudden, they're deprived of their life's blood, cash. Next, of course, an awful lot of people stopped flying. We lost several years of traffic growth, and this is an industry that depends on some kind of increase in growth.
What's the status of the industry today, 5 years later?
The U.S. part of the airline industry is arguably the worst in the world by far. Most of all, we need serious restructuring. We need fewer players. Everyone knows this. It's just a question of the mechanics of making it happen.
If mergers are clearly the answer, why is it so difficult to have this happen?
Mergers are very tough to engineer. For one thing, there's a lot of people who have a vested interest in keeping the existing capacity online. Then you have dramatic differences in the business practices between the established players. A lot of these airlines have been in business for many decades. They have a workforce that, well, has seniority as a way of life. And then very often, of course, you simply have too much directly competing capacity so that mergers might actually require shrinkage, and nobody really likes to shrink. But you look at the industry right now, and all eyes are on U.S. Airways America West, because if it succeeds in creating a merged carrier, and it looks like it just might, it'll be the first example in industry history of two equals actually merging and creating a successful larger carrier. So Delta, Northwest, and all the other airlines might be heartened by the experience and might try to make a go of it.
What kinds of adjustments do we, the consumer, need to make?
The consumer is the market. And, of course, airlines, like any other business, need to be responsive to that market. But consumers also need to know that some of the fares they've been paying have sort of been a fantasy land. Some of these fares are basically subsidized by investors who've lost their shirt. In other words, you might have to see some slight increase in fares in some routes that have just been dramatically slashed.
Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you for asking.
Richard Abalafia is an aviation analyst at Thiel Group. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas.
American Public Media.
Next time on Marketplace, what's changed?
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.